This is the Wanderment Podcast with Sarah Hale and Tegan McIntyre, sharing their adventures and life lessons. The Wanderment Podcast is produced and hosted by SVI Media in Afton, Wyoming. And now from the SVI studios, here's Sarah and Tegan on the Wanderment Podcast.
Hi, this is Sarah Hale.
And Tegan McIntyre.
And we welcome you to the Wanderment Podcast. We've been asked what wanderment means. And basically, it's a combination of two words. It's a combination of wonderment and wander, so it's just wanderment. We decided to put a podcast together and talk a little bit about everything and anything. So here we are on our first episode, and we're glad you're here with us.
Yeah, thanks for coming. I appreciate it. I love to wander. Do you like to wander, Sarah?
I'm a little bit of a wanderer, it's true.
Yeah, sometimes we get lost and wander.
Well, your definition of lost and my definition of lost are different, but yes, Tegan gets lost, I wander.
Yeah. Sarah just doesn't like to admit she's lost.
It's true. Anyway, so when we talk about, Tegan and I have been friends for a decade now, and we've done some crazy things in that time. We've put together a hiking trail series. We're working on an unlimited series where we talk to amazing people that do cool stuff in the outdoors. And so this is one of those adventures that we're on now, is a podcast adventure. But today we're going to talk a little bit about how we became wanderers. And my story goes back at least three generations, we think. So my great-grandfather, he was born and raised in Tennessee, and one day walked to a train station, put his life savings up on the counter, and bought a ticket west. His plan was to get to Oregon, and he had enough money to get to Evanston, Wyoming. And so, you know, this is in the 1800s. This is a long time ago. And that's what he did. He got on the train, came to Evanston, and his thought was, I'll work in Evanston and get some more money. Well, what happened was he met my great-grandmother, and that's how that went. And that's how that part of my family came to be in the Evanston area of Wyoming. So the idea that you could take your life savings and just move somewhere, I picked that up from him.
That's cool. My way of wanderment is, it started young. You know, my dad was a truck driver. He was a part owner of a moving company. And so he was always, you know, driving everywhere. And so we didn't fly to a lot of places. I flew to Florida when I was little and stuff, but like we started like driving everywhere. Like when I think I was 13 years old, we went to, we drove all the way to Niagara Falls, and it was the drive in the century. Like even my dad and I were just chatting about it today, actually, about how we sometimes would camp and sometimes would stay in these hotels and to just stop at all these historical places along the way. And oh man, it was so cool. And one point, I think I was maybe seven. My parents had a coin, and we didn't know where we wanted to go. And they're like, "Kate, heads is north and tails is south." And that year, that it just happened to be heads, and we drove all the way to Montana. And because at the time we lived in Bountiful, Utah, but we drove there. And let me just tell you, I think I am the reason I am who I am is because of that trip.
Like you found Wyoming.
Yeah, I found Wyoming. Like my true love. Like I took a bath in the Snake River, like with my sister and I, and like river guides were coming by. We're like waving on them while we were taking a bath in the Snake River. And, you know, and I remember like taking a bath up in Yellowstone in this beautiful crystal blue water and just seeing the mountain ranges and just loving to hike. That was just a huge desire for me. And, you know, so I wandered as a really young age, you know, just driving with my family and seeing the United States and seeing how beautiful a country this place is. So
absolutely. You know, and for myself, I was lucky enough to be born and raised in the beautiful Star Valley area. My parents were ranchers and we had a lot of acreage, and I just felt like I had the freedom to explore the world and that the world was mine to explore. I mean, I would get up early and just be outside, you know, playing in irrigation ditches or, you know, blowing dandelion seeds everywhere or, you know, exploring fields or mountains or climbing trees. And I just felt like, honestly, the whole world was mine to explore and to just fall in love with. And so, you know, I think a lot of times parents are super worried that their kid keeps up or is in the same place as other kids or, you know, performance wise. And maybe we've lost a little bit of that, you know, just let the kids explore. But I was so lucky, you know, so I've always had this sort of I want to know what's around the river bend. I want to know what's over the mountain. I want to see and touch everything. I want to personally be there and experience what it is. So yeah, I have a little bit of that wander thing, you know, and as about every 2 to 3 months, I start to get a little bit of an itch and I have to go see something new or try something new. So yeah, we're just both bona fide wanderers.
We are. We love to wander. I love to, you know, where I live right now, there's hiking trails all over me, and I love to just go wander and find new flowers and, you know, new animals and things that are, you know, that live in my area. And I've noticed that because I am such a wanderer, my kids are too. Like, my kids love it. Like, Goldie, sometimes I have to, you know, like, my neighbors are always watching out for her because that kid, like, she...
Oh, my goodness. She's a hummingbird. It's fascinating to watch.
Yeah, the kid, she just loves to just wander and just take everything in, and they're always, you know, looking at the flowers and they're looking at, you know, like, just collecting, you know, just different things, rocks and whatever they can find in our, just in our little neighborhood that we have. And I mean, I didn't grow up, luckily, you know, I didn't grow up like you with acreage, but, you know, I grew up right next to a big field, and I remember spending hours and hours in that field.
Yeah, just, we just need space to look around and be.
Yeah, I think it's important for everyone to have that wide open space and just, you know, explore, because you learn so much about yourself and you learn so much about, you know, I've learned a ton about Sarah just with us wandering the hills in Star Valley.
Now, I'm not, it'll surprise some people that think they know me, but I'm not a big talker about Sarah. You know, I'm happy to tell other people's stories, but yeah, if you want to learn something about me, you probably have to watch a little bit. I'm probably not going to tell you.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Anyway, so today we want to talk a little bit about the opportunity that wandering gives you as a person to become, I guess, more complete. Tegan and I, like I said, have known each other for a decade. We met in September of 2009. And sometimes people ask us, you know, they look at the two of us, and they're like, how in the world did you two become friends? Well, it happened on a plane on the way to South Africa. So that's the short answer.
Yeah. So yeah, we were on an airplane and we
were flying standby.
Yeah. Flying standby.
Into a third world country.
Which I would never recommend ever. Like, yeah.
We survived, but my goodness.
We
did.
So we got stuck in Atlanta and we were waiting for our other party. There was my mom and.
Yeah. So we got separated in Phoenix.
Yeah. Separated in Phoenix.
So we flew from Salt Lake to Phoenix. And then in Phoenix, we only had 2 seats available standby.
Yeah.
So Tegan and I got the plane to Atlanta and our other two in our party flew back to Salt Lake.
Yeah.
So
then we were in Atlanta. We have never met each other. Although we did meet each other once before. You interviewed me for a trip I went on with
Knowles.
Yeah,
we didn't meet face to face though. That was a phone interview, right?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was a phone interview.
So I knew of Tegan. Anyway, and the whole reason we were on this trip in the first place is because Tegan had organized a humanitarian trip to South Africa to take supplies to orphanages. And I had 2 arms and could carry a suitcase. So that was the only requirement you needed to go. And I was like, sure, I can carry a suitcase. So we had all of our personal stuff. I had my personal stuff packed in a camera bag, because if I'm going to Africa, I'm taking a camera and some lenses and that sort of stuff. And all of our luggage that we were taking was filled with humanitarian stuff. So here we are in Atlanta. And when you fly standby
with 4 giant bags of 50 pounds each, yeah.
Huge bags. Oh my goodness, they were so big. And yeah. And they're like the 50-pound bags with like the safety straps, so like the zipper doesn't burst. Like they are like well stuffed. We'll just say that those poor zippers. Anyway.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, they're full of all sorts of stuff, like just, you know, humanitarian supplies and soccer balls and
pencils and paper and crayons and all sorts of stuff.
Like, you know, anyway. So we get to Atlanta and it's late.
Yeah.
And we don't have any reservations anywhere, because when you fly standby, you're not really sure where you're going to be. So Tag was making the reservation to stay in a hotel. And did we walk to the hotel or take a taxi?
I think they had like a shuttle. So
we took a hotel shuttle, which was good. Anyway, so we get to the hotel and we're starving. I mean, we've been
so hungry.
It's our third Salt Lake, Phoenix. Yeah. Our third airport. And, you know, flying standby, you're never quite sure if you're on the plane or off the plane, or even when you're on the plane, if you're going to stay on the plane. So, you know, it'd been kind of a little bit of a hairy situation. We get there. We're still complete strangers and we're starving. And it's like 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. Yeah.
So hungry. And Sarah learned real quick that I have what you called hangry.
Yeah, that was my introduction to Tegan. If Tegan is not fed, no one is happy. You could lose a limb. Just anyway, so yeah. So Tegan needed to be fed, and I myself was feeling like I needed to be fed. So, of course, when you're starving, one of the things that you think is the most delicious is pizza. So we thought pizza's easy.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think you looked out the window. Did you look out the window and see the pizza place?
No, we were looking at, remember we were at the hotel, we were looking through that book and it had all the different
restaurants to whatever. Yeah, and everything was closed really because it was so late.
Mm-hmm.
But there was pizza and it was just like right up the road.
Yeah.
So we decide, we're going to walk up the road after 10 p.m. in Atlanta in, you know.
Yeah.
A really nice part of town.
Not really nice.
It was kind of sketchy.
It was sketchy. It was by the airport. That's all we have to say.
Anyway, so we start walking up this busy road to get to the pizza place so we can get pizza. Okay. And Tegan says, "Sir, you got to watch out for chiggers." And I'm like, "What?" And she goes, "There are these little things and they eat your legs." And I'm like, I mean, I'm a Wyoming girl. You don't have things in the grass that eat your legs. I didn't know what a chigger was.
Yeah.
Anyway.
They make mosquitoes look good. That's all I have to say.
So now we're sort of hurrying up the street so we don't get eaten by chiggers, whatever those are, after 10 o'clock at night in a sketchy part of town in Atlanta and to get pizza. So.
Yeah. So we walk. We get to the pizza store. And the I don't remember what place it was, but we get there. And they won't let us in.
Everything's locked. Like, the door's locked. Yeah. Like, they won't let us in.
So, we're, like, knocking. I mean, it's open. I mean, there's people in there working.
Like, the pizza guy's looking at us
people
like...
People are delivering pizza.
What are you doing outside my store? Yeah.
Yeah. And so, finally, this guy peeks his head out. And he's like, you know, we'd love to serve you, but you can't get the pizza from here. We have to deliver it to you. So, then Sarah and I walk all the way back. Still
through the chiggers.
Still walking and talking about chiggers. Because, you know... You just don't want to get bit by them. They're the worst.
We didn't, by the way. I still don't know what a chigger is.
Yeah. Just go to Texas. You'll find out. And then we get to the hotel, have to call them and order the pizza.
Yeah, so we get back to our room to call the pizza place that's just up the block so they can deliver pizza to us.
Yeah. But I think we ordered more than pizza. We ordered like pizza
By then we needed like the feast. Anyway.
Yeah.
So yeah, then my other memory from that hotel is Tegan had all of the rand, which is the South African money. Mm-hmm. Because she had access to an international bank.
Yeah.
And so all the rest of us in our party just brought cash to trade with Tegan for Rand. So she starts pulling out all this like foreign money. So we have pizza and we have foreign money all over this bed spread. And then I'm pulling out everybody's cash. So now we have Rand, we have US dollars, we have pizza and pasta and, you know, whatever that we're scarfing down while we're trading money. And I'm thinking to myself, this in a sketchy part of town, which mm-hmm. we learned from the pizza guy.
Yeah.
I was thinking, anyway, it looked like something straight out of it. I don't even know. It was.
We look like drug lords.
A little sketchy for sure. So, yeah, when people ask how we met on a plane. To Atlanta, and that was just the beginning of an epic adventure. So
but we were in Atlanta for like 24 hours before we had to catch the next flight because we just had missed the flight. That's why we were still in Atlanta, because we just
and we had to wait for our other people to catch up to us.
Yeah, so we decided to go on a little adventure while we're in Atlanta.
Yeah, we might as well.
And I heard that they had like the coolest aquarium ever. Like, they have like beluga whales and they had whale sharks.
Yeah, and I'd never seen a whale shark, and I was like, oh, yeah, we gotta go
like
through this.
The coolest aquarium ever. And so yeah, so we decided to...
We walked from the hotel because, you know, you don't know Tegan and I at this point, but you will. We're walkers.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so we couldn't get pizza the night before, but the next day, we're feeling good about life. We had our safari clothes on. anyway, and we head off into Atlanta to find the aquarium.
And we found it. And yes, seriously, it was the most beautiful aquarium I have ever been to. I've been to many, and... I mean, it's probably on the top top
for sure.
Top
yeah, no,
three
it's,
list
it's
of
a
places.
Pretty,
yeah,
pretty epic aquarium.
Yeah, it's beautiful. So if you need to see an awesome aquarium, I would suggest the Atlanta Aquarium. It's so cool. And we saw a whale shark, which now I want to swim with one because they're so cool. And we saw beluga whales, which were gorgeous. And both Sarah and I have lived in Alaska, so like beluga whales are really awesome to
yeah,
us.
Yeah, they're way, way, way cool.
But the greatest adventure of that whole thing was the touch tank.
Oh my gosh.
The touch tank.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. This is how I got to know Tegan. First of all, I knew that she needed food. I learned that the night before. So I'm chalking up these little things about Tegan that I know. But yeah, she had a personal interaction with the the rays in the touch tank. So yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So we're sitting there. Like, I love to touch things. I'm a total tactile like person. I just like if I'm at a store and I see like a soft blanket, I'm that person who touches it. If I see a nice shirt, I have to touch. I just like to touch things. So we're like touching the anemones and the, you know, the sea stars
and the cucumbers.
And little squishy cucumbers and all this stuff. And I'm just so excited. And there's little stingrays that you can pet. And then all of a sudden, the stingray comes out of nowhere.
It launched out of the tank straight at Tegan.
Yeah, it
just
jumped
straight at her face. This thing is coming at her out of the air, and it's flapping its little, are they wings? Are they fins?
I don't know where they are.
Whatever
they're
just
flapping
are,
it.
It's flapping.
And I did this little like scream. Like,
It was not little.
It was a little scream. Well, to me, it was a little scream.
Yeah, but it was. Anyway, she had a sea creature launching at her head. It was that kind of a scream.
So, yeah, I scream, and Sarah is just standing there laughing.
I figured if her number was up, the ray was after her, not me, and I was just going to watch it happen. But, oh, my goodness. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
And, like, everyone else turned because of Tegan's tiny scream. Remember, it was not really that tiny. I was looking at her, and this thing's just like, wah, coming at her.
I could still see its face, like its beady little face.
Oh, and my goodness, it was glorious.
Well, I guess it's like the underside, so it would be like its mouth or whatever and its nose. So, but yeah, it was creepy.
And then it gets back in the pool, this ray, and she looks at me and goes, "Did you see that?" And I'm thinking, yeah, I watched that happen.
Yeah. Yeah, the day I got attacked by a stingray, I was starting to feel like...
I don't think
like,
it actually made contact, did it? I think you moved...
No, I got wet.
Yeah,
I
you got water I got, on it. I think splashed. You moved pretty quick out
I
of
did,
its path.
I did. I can move quick if you need me to. So
yeah, there you go. Yeah. If a ray is flying at your face at Mach 900.
Yeah. So, yeah, and then eventually we catch a plane to Africa.
Yeah, we got on a plane. It was a 15-hour flight.
Oh, my gosh, longest flight ever.
Oh, my goodness. So we land in Johannesburg. And just incidentally, we landed in Johannesburg the day after they closed the U.S. embassy in Johannesburg because there was a little bit of unrest there. So so we landed in Johannesburg. And keep in mind, since our whole party's there, our whole party of four people now, we all caught up with each other in Atlanta, got on the 15-hour flight.
But we still needed to catch a flight to Cape Town because that was our main point of origin,
yeah, absolutely,
was Cape Town.
Anyway, so we all made it on the same plane, which is good. We were all in four different places on the plane because, again, we're going standby. We have these huge, huge, huge bags, just massive. And they're heavy, heavy, heavy. Anyway, and we get to Johannesburg. And again, it's late.
Mm-hmm.
And we were supposed to be in Johannesburg the day before, but because we couldn't all get our flights worked out. So we're a day late. Uh-huh. So whoever was supposed to meet us there isn't there at the Johannesburg airport. We are four very fair looking. We have all blonde hair, blue eyes sort of thing going on. We're in the Johannesburg airport and there's no one there to meet us. And we have no idea what we're going to do when we hit the ground.
Yeah. So they decided, the group, they wanted to sleep at the airport.
Two of the group.
Yeah, that's right.
Two of the group.
And I'm looking all around me and I'm thinking, okay, all these chairs would be super uncomfortable to sleep on. The floor is like... not cement. No, it wasn't cement, but it was like tile.
Yeah, it was like, yeah, it was tiley, cementy stuff.
I was exhausted. Yeah. I was stinky and I, 15-hour flight, and I did not want to sleep on the floor.
And she was probably hungry.
I probably was too, yeah.
Yeah.
So we had this cute little lady who came up to us and at the time.
Brave lady.
This is before, we had internet, but it was like, you know, dial up. So like, you know, we couldn't like look at it on our phone to see if there was a place that we could stay. So this cute girl comes up to us and she was like, "Hey, you guys want to come stay at my place?" And, you know, I mean, kind of, if you think about it, it was kind of sketchy. I mean,
at this point, we have sketchy down.
We do. Down. I mean, yeah. So we were like, you know, it was a reasonable price and we're like, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
So we get there, and it's actually a really nice little place.
Yeah, it was like, super nice. And
well secured.
And we met Nelson. He was our driver.
Yep, Nelson. He was awesome.
Yeah, it was. Anyway, so basically it's this little, like, not really gated because it was sort of a...
But they did have an armed guard in the front, though.
They did have an armed guard. Yeah. And it was... But it was sort of a plant wall, not like a wall wall.
Yeah, it was like a... It was, yeah, it wasn't like cement or anything. Yeah. It was like...
Anyway, so we have an armed guard to our place in Johannesburg where we're staying. And keep in mind, I now know about chiggers and armed guards. So I'm learning a lot as we go along. But anyway, and they had one computer with internet.
No, they had two because you were on it and I was on it. Or at no, the they did.
No, we took turns.
Yeah, that's right. We did.
Anyway,
take turns.
So we decided that no one should be by themselves.
Yeah.
That we should have a buddy. So Tegan and I, by now, were buddies. You know, we'd had a couple of shared experiences with pizza and
we
Ray's.
Shared a room together.
So, you know, we traded cash and all this sort of stuff. So we were bonded. So we didn't know when our next connection to the outside world would be. So Tegan went to email her husband to say, you know, life's good. And I was going to email my mother and say, we've made it. I don't know when I can get a hold of you, but life's good. Mm-hmm. So we're busy emailing, doing the responsible thing. And then we go to find the other two members of our party.
And they're not in our room.
Yeah,
and we're like, not. But then we saw this tent with like smoke coming out of it. And we hear music.
We're like, okay.
Maybe we should go check that out.
Maybe
they're in the tent.
So we walk in and there's like this cloud of just, yeah, you know what it was. It was
not your
It was in a hallucinogenic cloud. We'll just say that. Anyway, and there's the two members of our party.
My mom and Lynn.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, and they are just laughing.
Oh, man.
And they're singing along. And the drums, like somebody's pounding the drums.
They're dancing.
And they're passing around like the
hookah.
The hookah. And we look the situation over and we're thinking to ourselves.
Yeah, we're not Wyoming anymore.
I'm like, oh, my gosh. We have to get them out of there without looking like, oh, we got to go because everyone in this tent is high. Anyway.
Yeah, so we got them out. Well, no, we stayed for a while and chatted and learned where they were from. They're from some like cool island off of Africa.
Yeah, there was a Scotland person there too.
Oh yeah, there was a bunch. There was a handful of people, but they were as high as kite. And
yeah,
and my mom and Lynn were too, but they were not because they did anything bad. It was just because of secondhand smoke. Yeah,
yeah, they secondhand smoke.
Yeah, they did a Cheech and Chong for you there. And so, anyways, so they after we did a little dancing and grooving with their cool instruments and their drums and stuff,
yeah, we're all like, we gotta go. We need to go.
So anyway. We finally leave the hookah tent. That's what we called it. We labeled the hookah tent.
Anyway, we make it back to our room, which. You know, I don't have a wide array of experience with hotels and that sort of thing in South Africa, but it's fairly like the United States. I mean, you have all different tiers of places to stay. This place was nice, but it was not like ritzy at all. I mean, we did have running water and that kind of stuff. There was electricity, which was cool, that kind of thing. But, you know, it's not the kind of place that you just want to hang out with all the time. I mean, the beds were nice, but...
Yeah.
Maybe the bedding had been used a few times and that sort of
stuff. It was kind of more like a hostel because a bunch of people could stay in one room. So I would say it was kind of like a hostel.
And did we put something in front of the door?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Anyway, so that was our first night in South Africa.
No, you did not talk about the giggles.
Oh, geez. I was going to skip over that part. So we're laying there in bed and all of a sudden your mom starts laughing and Lynn starts laughing and then pretty soon we're laughing at them. We're not sure.
They got the giggles and they had the giggles.
Yeah, for sure.
And it was hilarious. Well, I think it was a mixture of the hookah tent, jet lag throw you off like way bad. And so,
just the fact that we had a place to sleep when, you know, an hour before we didn't know what we were
going
to do.
Yeah, we were going to sleep on the ground in the airport. But yeah, so.
That was pretty hilarious.
That was our experience, our first experience with the hookah tent.
In Johannesburg.
Yeah, in Joburg. So.
Yeah, anyway.
Yeah.
Well, then the next day we had to get, our ultimate goal was to get to Cape Town because that's where the orphanages were.
Yeah.
But like I say, now we're 3 days behind our original schedule because we couldn't all get on the plane initially. So we're losing a day each time.
Yeah.
So everyone that's supposed to meet us at these places doesn't know we're coming because we're 24 to 48 hours late at this point. So we book a flight. Mm-hmm. It was a puddle jumper from Johannesburg to Cape Town. Mm-hmm. With no idea that in Cape Town how we're going to find these people. Teg does have the information of the orphanage, but I don't think you had a phone number, did you? I think you just had an address.
We just had like a contact of, you know, like my mom had the contact. She knew of somebody from Jackson or something that like had done these trips. So that's all we had. So yeah. I think we had to contact them via, you know, international phone call and
anyway,
stuff like that.
So it was, you know, anyway. So we get on this plane. Oh, we forgot to talk about Jack. Our little penguin.
Oh, yeah. Before then. So everyone in everyone was so excited to see the animals in Africa. They were excited to see the, you know, the giraffes and the lions and, you know.
Yeah, when you think about it, Africa, you think safari.
You think safari. But me, I like to find the animal that's not normal. And I had heard that there was these penguins in Africa that were called jackass penguins. And let me just tell you, I was so excited to see the jackass penguins. And I think there's also another name for them. I think they're called African penguins. But, I, you know me, I like the non-politically correct name there for them. And so I really wanted that. So before then, Lynn at the airport had bought me a penguin.
Yeah, she bought you a penguin.
And so Jack came with us on every adventure.
It was like the traveling gnome that you see sometimes. We had this penguin with us, pictures of him. Anyway, so he had his own plane seat and he had his own.
Yeah. Jack the penguin.
We call him Jack. Anyway. Yeah. So all four of us plus Jack the penguin arrive in Cape Town. And we're just sitting there and Mary Jo's trying to get a hold of somebody to come and meet us at the airport.
Yeah.
And I see this woman walking toward us and I just stand up and grab my bags. And I was like, where are you going? I was like, with her? Anyways, she actually was the person that was coming to meet us.
Yeah.
Her name was Ursula. So after, and once we made it to Cape Town, things came together pretty well.
Yeah. Everything else came together other than we were, you know, remember we couldn't get back on the airplane to come home.
Yeah. Then there was, you know, the tsunami rain or whatever for like a week or 3 or 4 days or whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, so at that point, you know, we were actually in Johannesburg. I think you're supposed to be there for 10 days.
Yeah.
And we were there for like 14 or something.
Yeah.
Trying to get a plane out because what happened was it had started raining so hard that they grounded a bunch of planes. So with standby tickets, you know, everyone wants to be on these planes and they're piling up people that need to get out of the country. So well, with standby, you're getting farther and farther down the list. Yeah.
Well, and supplies were starting to, they would take supplies, you know, like, you know, they would take, you know, shipments of vegetables and fruits and things like that from Africa over people because that's more money for them.
Yeah, it makes more money.
Yeah.
Anyway, we finally did make it out of the plane, out of the country, which was good.
Yeah, we did.
Made it back to Atlanta, which was awesome. And we didn't have any problems as far as getting connection flights on the way back. We all made it back to Salt Lake in good time. So,
but that is Sarah and I. When people ask us how we met
on a plane.
On a plane.
To South Africa.
To South Africa.
So when you talk about wandering, to wrap it up here, really, I've had a decade of joy in my life because I know Tegan. You know, and I would like to think she has the same situation with me. I mean, we're buddies and we do crazy stuff together, but it all happened because I said yes to an opportunity that was maybe a little bit outside of my comfort zone and I allowed myself to wander. So yeah, as we go forward with this podcast and talk a little bit about wanderment, we're going to talk a little bit about how wandering can actually make you a more complete person. So
yeah, it makes you more well-rounded and I think that it just opens your eyes to a whole other place out there.
So anyway, we hope you join us again for our next episode. Thanks.
Thanks. Appreciate it.